You have a purpose. You have a promise. You are not alone. And it's time you start believing that. Together, we're going to look to the horizons ahead to seek clarity and equip you to the destination God has in store. You're on top of the mount. Hello everyone, I'm your host, Darren Wattles. And I want to thank you for listening to another episode of On Top of the Mount. In this episode, we're going to continue our conversation on equipping yourself with a mentor, and I'll give a more thorough explanation and share some examples and stories about what makes a good mentor and how you need to submit to them. But before we begin, I again want to thank Mason Downs for the awesome theme music and Nathan Santomieri for the great cover art. And I also want to thank you, my listeners, for making this podcast possible. So without further ado, let's get started. I don't know about everyone out there, but speaking as someone that lives in Arkansas, the weather is insane. We just had Mother's Day on Sunday. It was nice, warm, sunny, and then Monday happens and it becomes wet and cold. And here we are in May and it's cold. And as I'm writing this, I'll be honest, I have a coat on and I'm drinking some hot tea, which I know some people really like coffee, which I do. I love coffee, but I do love me some tea. It's just the European in me. So pivoting just a little bit, I love feedback and I am very thankful for everyone that's listening. Matter of fact, I am just so surprised on the stretch of where people are listening to this podcast from. And I thank you to whoever's listening out in Oklahoma, to Oregon, also to whoever that person is in Peru. I appreciate you for listening. So, going back to feedback, I got a text from one of my listeners, and they brought to my attention another example of Jesus before Transfiguration talking at the synagogue. Now, the one I referred to in the last podcast was located in Luke, which it was Luke 2, verses 41 through 52, where you can find that, and where Jesus is lost, and Mary and Joseph are in the middle of trying to find him, and they find him learning under the scribes, and where he's asking questions. At this point, he is still in the stage and where he's learning, and where he's seeking that mentorship. And it's also at this stage that we see the beginnings of where he's sharpening his skill set at teaching. And in that feedback, the person makes a reference that there's also another point in time, which in Mark 1, right before he has all of his disciples, and right before he goes on his quest to become the Christ as we know him, that he is again at the synagogue and he's teaching. And this time, he's the one that is becoming the mentor to the others because they are asking questions of him, and where this time he speaks with authority. Again, I find this also important because it is in these stages from the time when he was a 13-year-old lost to now he's more of an adult and teaching, that we see him build his teaching ability in learning the Socratic method, which is the same skill set we see him use when he's talking parables to his disciples and those he's teaching. And likewise, it is the same type of teaching that was very common at the time, given the fact that years prior in Greece, you have that skill set being developed through Socrates, who teaches Plato. Which that brings me to the main point of the podcast for today, is I'm going to talk more on mentors. In the previous podcast, I talked on building onto your faith through virtue and knowledge. And that comes from studying the Bible in depth. I'm not talking about memorizing verses. I'm talking like in-depth study. And also to have that mentor to be that pillar to lean on so you don't fall and get off track. So more on the mentor is that they are the sage to get you through your tough times and to get you on the right track in your journey. Because without that pillar by your side, you can fall off the wagon really, really quick. So who is a mentor? Obviously, this is going to be someone that knows what they're talking about. This is someone that has experience. Typically, a mentor is someone that's older. And not necessarily they're 100 years old, but someone that has been around for a while and has some experience under their belt. This could be someone in their 40s. Or it could be that person that is 100 years old. But it's someone you can connect with that understands you and you understand them. So I made some movie references in the last podcast, and note that they are unique and how we can use them as an analogy for what we need to do in our lives is that when I referenced the Rocky movies, you had Mickey. Mickey was a fighter. He knew what needed to be done. He was a trainer. And that would be weird if Rocky Balboa found some guy on the side of the street to be his mentor and didn't know what they were talking about. It's obvious that Mickey was the right choice at that given time for Rocky. Looking at history, the best mentor at the time for Plato was Socrates. Socrates, even though in this case was a hobo, he was given this abnormal, unique ability to think for himself, which was uncommon of the time that you listened to the king and whatever he says goes. But he challenged the status quo and challenged the thought process of the average human being. And Plato learned under that. And he also challenged the status quo in changing things. In fact, giving us how our political systems work today. He gave us the different stages of the best political governments, which, strangely enough, democracy was one of the worst, but he acknowledged it was probably the best because the number one was a government run by wise men, but he knew that could lead to tyranny if a wise man failed to do the right thing and looked at his own self-interest rather than the interest of everyone else. And that turns into tyranny. So it is that kind of thinking that leads us into a more of a biblical reference, in which we have the example of Saul versus David, in which Saul perverted his role as king to get his own self-interest, which caused him to lose the glory of God, thus cursing him and going into this war-torn period of Israel, and also causing him to become paranoid on David. And David sees this and sees what Saul had become and built himself to be better. Now, was David perfect? Obviously not. He had his own mistakes. But he looked at Saul in his imperfections and realized what potential he then would have when he was set up as king. So mentors are very important in our walk. So it's important on who we choose to be our mentor. And preferably, this person needs to know what they are talking about. So when you're searching for that mentor to help you and to be your partner in building you up spiritually, find someone in the church. It could be the person that sits just a couple rows in front of you or behind you. It could be someone that does the same job as you do in the church. It could be that you both have the same occupation and you get a double whammy of experience spiritually and in the workforce. Your mentor could be your youth leader. It could be your pastor. It could be many different people. And I think it's also worth mentioning that if you are female, find a female mentor. If you are male, find a male mentor. Not saying that always will apply, but they will know you better than someone of the opposite gender. So those of you who know me know that I am very eclectic. And when I say that, I mean I can be all over the board. I have no one particular interest. I have several interests. I like to teach. I like to learn. I like history. I like art. I like science. I like nature, philosophy, different types of music. I'm all across the board when it comes to my interests. And with those interests, I have many mentors that help me into building myself in those fields. But more importantly, the story I'm about to mention is to do with my current occupation as a teacher. And it's one of those occupations you really need to find a mentor to help guide you and build you up as a teacher, so you can equip yourself on the skills that are needed to do it. Because college does not prepare you for the classroom. It prepares you for the paperwork, but not the skills you need for the students. And as a student teacher, I was given the role to rotate to three different classes. I taught a U.S. history class, I taught a civics economics class, and I also taught a class on world history. And I had three different teachers that each of them were totally different from the other. The first two teachers I had were female. And don't get me wrong, they were good teachers. And both of them, I got some different ideas from them, but I did not connect as well with them as I did with the one I ended up calling my mentor. And he made that classroom fun. History, I know, can be a very dull topic, but it can be made interesting. And my mentor did just that, made history interesting and fun. On top of that, he was just a great resource of knowledge when it came to politics, when it came to just words of wisdom, when it came to skill sets of what to do and what you shouldn't do in the classroom, and what did well and what doesn't do well. And that's the kind of person you need to find, and that person that you can really connect with. And I'm speaking now in a more of a spiritual aspect. It is those type of people that we really need to surround ourselves with, especially in church. For instance, I would say my mentors in my church would be my former youth leader, which is now our assistant pastor, our pastor, and my hyphen leader. But that doesn't mean that those are it. I have other mentors within the church, but those three I would find to be the most important, because it's through them that I can see skills and I can see different facets of the spiritual walk that I need to equip myself on, and to see where I can improve on other stages along my journey along the road up the mountain. So I know for a lot of you that you are trying to find your purpose and where you fit in the body or in your church, in other words. And your mentors will absolutely help you find that destination you need to be at. And for me, and that's all I can speak for is myself. So one day I decided to purchase the audiobook of Follow to Lead, The Journey of a Disciple Maker, which was written by my uncle Stan Gleason. And I'm going to say this not because he is my uncle. I'm not saying this because he is a very well-known pastor in the UPC, but I'm saying this because I genuinely mean it, is that it is a must read. And you, during this time of quarantine, either need to purchase the audiobook and listen to it, or buy the book or borrow the book, do something, read it. You need to equip yourself with that resource. It is fabulous. Now, in that, there are certain things that I picked up and realized that, okay, that's what I got to do. And I scheduled a time to meet with my pastor, and I knew exactly what I would have wanted to do in my role, but that's not how you do it. You need to seek your mentor, and your mentor will place you where you need to be. And if he happens to, or she, chooses to put you as a janitor, then you be the best janitor you can until they say otherwise. And in this case, I met with Brother Mize, and I asked him that I would like to do a little bit more in the church, and asked what he needed help with. And what he did was something I really wasn't expecting at all. I mean, honestly, you know, there's always that pride factor, is that you think you can always do better than that, but you need to bring yourself down a couple of notches, and you need to acknowledge the fact that he is trying to build you up into what he believes is what potential you may possess. And so I took the job, and I was the guy who cleaned out the baptistry. And that was my job. And it wasn't something I had to do every week. I just had to keep track, make sure there's no spiders, make sure there wasn't any film, make sure I periodically kept the baptistry, drained it, washed out the tub, make sure it was there was nothing that could infect anyone. You know, it's just like having a pool, essentially, because your role is not only to make sure that people have a clean baptistry, but, you know, no one gets sick or gets any infections. So that was my job, and I made it my number one priority, is making sure that that baptistry stayed clean and stayed fresh. And you may be wondering, what does a baptistry have to do with a spiritual walk? Well, it's submitting yourself in the skills that you're equipping yourself to get to the destination ahead, which we acknowledged in the first podcast, is looking over that mountain, you see the destination, but you had to go through stages to really reach that pivotal point in your life. And that's what your mentor is going to do. I mean, going back, we're going with another movie reference, The Karate Kid. What did Mr. Miyagi do? Wax on, wax off. What did that have to do with fighting? It's equipping yourself to submit yourself into learning. If you can take the time to do those things, you're going to be ready for the next stage. And I don't really know what the next stage is ahead. I don't know. I can't say that I am going to be in a big leadership role. I can't say that. But I am going to submit myself to equip myself to build myself. And that is our number one priority with our mentors. Again, if you're asked to be a janitor, be the best janitor you can be. Don't be upset that you didn't get your dream job. Just be happy that they placed you. That's where you need to be. And someday, maybe you'll get something more out of it. So I'll give you a little bit of an example. So before quarantine happened, we made an arrangement for some other people to do the baptistry, which gave me a little bit of a break, and which was nice. You know, being a full-time teacher and the different things that I do in my life, it was nice to take a little bit of a breather. But when quarantine hit, you know, those people just didn't want to go out, which was understandable, because there's a possibility of getting this coronavirus. And so, unbeknownst to me, I did not know that there was going to be a baptism a couple of months ago. And I just had this funny urge that I need to go clean the baptistry because it had not been cleaned in a while. And lo and behold, I kind of, you know, shrugged it off because, who's going to get baptized during the corona pandemic, you know, in rural Arkansas? Surely nobody. But it kind of really pressed on me. And sure enough, I get a text. I get a text to see if I would be willing to clean the baptistry. Not even 24 hours later. And I jumped on that opportunity, and I made sure that thing was spotless. And, you know, there comes a time when you're doing something, and after your job is complete, you can look back at your work and to see how it's being used, and you take so much pride in your labor to see what has been done with that labor. And in the more spiritual aspect is, sure, the job I was given, I wasn't too excited about, but you can reap more for the things that you're actually placed than what you really wanted in, to begin with. Is that if you're not ready for the stage, they place you in those spots on purpose. And here I am. I didn't do anything necessarily extraordinary, but I did something that I wound up being used for a greater purpose in such a small role. Is when I got to see that person getting baptized, that hit me deep down. And it's just an amazing feeling when you are being used for the greater purpose. And, I mean, not that I'm comparing it to the role of David or Saul or any of the other guys, is that we got to remember that they were the lowliest of the lows, but yet through their positions as a donkey herder or a sheep herder, is they were used for a greater purpose at the end. And so I'll say this before I wrap up, is along our walk, our mentor isn't always going to be there. So we really need to take this time to absolutely study under them, to listen to them, and build ourselves through them and submit ourselves, because if we don't, there's no guarantee that they'll be here tomorrow. In the case of my mentor, I didn't have very long with him at all. A matter of fact, it was just a year. And then suddenly he passed away. But I remember the experience. I remember the stories. I remember what he told me. I remember everything because I treasured that time. And we need to do that with our mentors. So it is not in vain. So to whoever's listening, whether you be a youth hyphen or whoever else is listening to the podcast, is when you find that mentor, truly listen to them, submit to them, treasure that time that you have with that mentor. Though the task they may give you may seem silly at first, it's for your betterment. So guys, that's all for today. And again, I really, really appreciate everyone who has followed and subscribed. But I encourage you all, please rate this podcast on whatever streaming app that you're listening to. And be sure to share this with your friends. Tell them about it. I would love to bring this to a larger audience. Likewise, let's start a conversation. Add me on Instagram or Twitter at @D_RayWaddles, or add me on Facebook and tell me, who was your favorite mentor and why? Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Darren Waddles, and I will talk with you next time on Top of the Mount.